CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm with Anatole Levin. And though we're debating NATO and the future of NATO, we can't ignore the fact that NATO's enmity towards Russia, a long experience of not trusting Russia, will extend into other arenas. And right now, one of those arenas is energy. I can't tell whether energy is security. Security is guns. Guns are energy. It's all a big circle, Anatole. So I'll read the headline from Reuters in minutes. Putin blames European energy market hysteria on green transition drive. Moscow. Russian President Vladimir Putin said there was hysteria and some confusion on European energy markets due to the drive to transition to greener energy and low investment in industries focused on extraction. Putin said the green transition had happened smoothly and that it was important that the sustainable development of oil, gas, and coal should not be neglected. It sounds like he's an energy executive, which he is. Energy is Russia is a superpower of energy. But at the same time, there are loud voices in that same parliament, in that same Bundestag, in that same Congress in the United States who are blaming Putin for an artificial crisis, prices spiking in natural gas in your Lincolnshire, and for the prospect that the uncertainty of energy markets means that this is a threat to COP26, to climate change, to the agreements of nations to reduce their greenhouse gases. Does this count as a new form of conflict between Moscow and Brussels? I can't tell.
Well, I think, I don't think that Russia created these gas shortages. If you look at the question of Chinese demand, increased Indian demand, failure rapidly enough to expand liquid natural gas production in the Gulf. There are many, objective reasons for this. I do think, though, that Russia has been absolutely delighted by it did not regret this crisis, shall we say. Putin obviously is exploiting it above first and foremost to make sure that Nord Stream goes through. The Europeans are made fully aware of just how much they do depend on Russian gas. But he has, to a certain extent, I'm very sorry to say, a point when he says that the Europeans and the Brits in particular have mismanaged the transition to alternative energy. It's becoming clear that alternative energy is not yet in a position fully to replace fossil fuels, unless that is we go down the French route and invest a great deal more in nuclear energy. But the German Greens in particular have adopted a crazed position whereby they shut down Germany's nuclear industry. They have committed themselves to extremely ambitious plans to eliminate carbon fuels, which they simply cannot do. There is no way that they will achieve that. And they are calling for increased hostility to Russia. Well, that is, frankly, a recipe for energy disaster. I mean, you might be able to get away with two of those things at the same time, but not three of them.
Energy is a casus belli. Let us say that we have a history of states going to war because they're doubtful of their energy resources. The one that comes immediately to mind is the Japanese Empire in 1941. It wanted the Dutch oil fields and decided the way to capture them was to attack Pearl Harbor. Who knows why? Okay, fine. But still, energy is now a major item for governments to present as secure or not secure. That will turn heads, Anatole. I'm not trying to project a science fiction future, but Russia is a gas station and China knows it and Europe knows it. And that makes Russia correct in guarding its possessions, its crown jewels, at the same time seek to manipulate governments who are looking for enmity. Is that a fair summary of where we are? We can't tell the future, but Russia has a prize that everybody wants.
Yes, I mean, as with the Gulf states. But of course, Russia is, like Qatar, by the way, is in some ways in a stronger position, because a very widespread assumption is that oil, the use of oil will decline as electric vehicles spread rapidly in the years to come. But that many countries around the world will remain heavily dependent on gas. And of course, Russia is now above all a gas superpower like Qatar. The increased importance of natural gas is basically at the root of this present crisis, which Russia is trying to exploit. So undoubtedly, Russia's international position is strengthened by this. And of course, the new Russian pipelines to China mean that Russia does have a choice, not a complete choice. I mean, you know, Russia is still heavily, heavily invested in gas exports to Europe. But Russia has sent a pretty clear message to Europe. Don't push us too far. We have a choice where we send our gas.
To Russia again and NATO, because there is the sharp end of the stick. NATO expels 8 Russians. It says we're spies. We've heard from Moscow a little to the effect that there will be reciprocity. Russia will expel or move to answer this NATO aggression. This is fresh, Anatole. This is not business as usual. This is Cold War talk. It suggests to me that we're not seeing everything on the landscape. There's something else going on here. Is NATO spying on Russia? Well, we can assume that's what the budgets are all about. And now NATO wants to expel observers it must have expected for years were going to exchange thoughts with their control agents or their masters or their superiors in Moscow. So are we turning a page here? We have just 30 seconds. Are we turning a page? Do we say that the future is undetermined now about NATO and Russia?
Yeah, I mean, there was something very odd about this expulsion because they did usually you allege a specific action. This, why they did this now is not clear. And it does look to me like a deliberate attempt to ratchet up tension. But of course the Russians are spying on us. And I mean, if we're not spying on the Russians, we really ought to be. I've always assumed NATO observers in Russia, at least a proportion of them, were spies. I mean, let's be honest.
That's George Smiley's world. You understand. Yeah. Your closest colleagues are the people who have your job on the other side of the fence. And this doesn't match up with what you observe correctly is the Biden administration's seeking to use diplomacy and not a confrontation, not deployment as a conversation piece. This seems out of step. Who does it suit? We have about a minute left. Who benefits from this headline?
Well, I'm afraid that it's very much, what I was saying, that there are forces in NATO in Europe which, believe that you've got to have tension with Russia in order to keep America in Europe. In my view, this is grossly exaggerated. America has lots of good reasons to stay, committed to Europe without having to constantly talk up the Russian threat. And as you say, I mean, this also does seem to conflict with the present desire of the Biden administration, not to have some grand reset in relations with Russia, but to avoid crisis for the simple reason that the Biden administration has, 2 huge crises on its hands already and really, really does not need a third.
Anatole Levin, he is at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in Winter is Coming, the United Kingdom. I am in Winter is Coming, the United States, observing 1, lessons learned from Afghanistan, not so much, and 2, lessons learned from the Cold War, not so much. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.